Lord willing, this morning going to continue with the burden that I began. We had several messages from Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. We've spoken about preparing our hearts to seek God, tearing down the idols, responding to God's word with a receptive and willing heart, and a seeking God, seeking Him first and seeking Him with all of our hearts and seeking His law. But today, I'll read the scripture again from Ezra. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. So I want to speak this morning on this part, to do. Seek, do, teach. This morning I'd like to speak to us of what it means in the scripture. And as I studied, I came across this dilemma that it's not by works lest any man should boast. But there are some things that the scripture brings out that we should do. So I'd like to, by the help of the Lord, present a balance, the balance of the scripture. I don't want to get too far off one way and too far off the other. But the scripture speaks to us about Christ in us, believing in Him and proving that faith by our works. So he said he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. That is really the end of our, or the purpose or the fulfillment of our search and our preparing our hearts. If it doesn't result in us really doing what God wants us to do, just knowing about His will and understanding it, but not doing that, there's no use in that. Well, James, in the second chapter of James, the last 13 verses, he deals with if you say you have faith, but you don't prove it by your works, your faith is dead. So we don't want to have a dead profession. The book of James also, in chapter 1, he says about being a hearer of the word and not a doer of it. He talks about that. Let me just catch that right quick before I go on. James chapter 1, verse 23, but if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse above that says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So a person who is a hearer but not a doer, it says he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, remember Ezra said he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Whoso does that, who prepares his heart to seek the law of God, and the law of God is opened up to him, the law, the revealed will of God, the divine plan, the purpose of God, the things that God wants us to do, if that's revealed to us and we look into it, and it says here, if we look into it and continue therein, it says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we want to be those to this morning that are blessed in our deed. We want to be someone who not only hears, but does the will of the Lord. In Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, the last part of that, he says in verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he goes on to compare those who hear but don't do. He said they're like unto people who build their house on a sand with no foundation. and the storms come, and the ruin of that house is very great. But those who do the will of the Lord, when they know it and they do it, he said, they're likened to those people who build their house on a rock. And the storms come and the rains, it cannot shake that house. We want to be doers, not just hearers. He repeats it in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, where he asked this question. And to me, it's a very passionate, pathetic question that Jesus asked when he said, why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So this morning, the burden from the Word of God, and I want to, as I have sought the Lord on this, it has moved me very greatly, because I realize the great importance and the depth of this. Not just, it's no longer just, we've got a set of rules and you got to check them off and accomplish them and do them. That's not what it is anymore. But Jesus brought it down to a heart issue, because he said the greatest commandments are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and mind, and those words that he used there. And the second is like unto it. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So as the Lord brought that to my mind, where I said, Lord, I want to be like Ezra, and I want to seek to know your will and to do it. And it looks like in the children of Israel, they said, they're in Deuteronomy, do we have to go up to heaven and bring God down, or do we have to descend into the deep to bring him up? This looks like an impossible task to please God. But he said, it's not too hard for you. He said, the word is very nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word, let me find that right quick. If you know where that is, just...
The one in Romans or the one in the...
In Deuteronomy. He said, it is not too hard for thee. I'm sorry, I thought I could just turn right there to it. He said, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart.
It's Deuteronomy 30.
Thank you. I hadn't gone far enough. Deuteronomy
12, actually.
Yes, 30 and 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? God himself told his people, it's not too difficult to, and when we bring it down to what Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. We sometimes today think that's too difficult. He brought it down to two simple things. Everything in his whole law, the whole duty of man is combined in those two principles. He said it's not hard. It's not too difficult. It's there in your, it's verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So the promise this morning is, when you know God's will and you've looked into the law of liberty and you're faithful to do what God has revealed to you, then it's not too hard to do it. So let's think about that. We need help, don't we? Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what did he say about that? He said, pray. Pray. When we pray and ask the Lord, and the Lord reveals some of His will to us, do we have a heart this morning that says, like Jesus did? In Hebrews, it says, I come to do thy will, O my God. And that is a quote from Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, it's not just, I come to do your will, O my God, but it's, I delight to do your will. Lord, do I have a heart? And that, as I said earlier, the whole purpose of preparing our hearts to be receptive to God's law, to seek the Lord with all of our hearts, the whole purpose of it is that we would have a heart that says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That's in Psalm 40. So you can write it down or whatever you do here. Verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. That's why we should seek and prepare our hearts. When we come up against truth, this is something that I really see about truth. When we come up against God's truth, did you know that when it's really truth, when it's really a conviction from God, it brings with it a moral obligation to us. We are, when we understand truth, when we come face to face with it, then there's an obligation that's put upon us at that point that we didn't have before we knew it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we realize that it's truth, that God is saying, this is my will for you, from that point on, we are responsible to that particular thing. There are people, we're on a journey, and there are things that we don't understand about God up to a certain point in our lives. But once we understand it, then God holds us to it. There is a conviction about truth that comes into our lives. And you'll notice, I've noticed this in any way, that any time that it comes up, the subject comes up, and you've understood what God wants you to do about it, when that subject comes up again, and maybe you've kind of walked away from it, because that's what we tend to do. A lot of times, if we don't have a heart that's just willing and ready to do all of what God reveals to us, we kind of distance ourselves from it. You ever do that? I've done it before. Well, there's a little fear there. There's a little hesitation. It just is too hard. Lord, surely you didn't really mean that. That's how we do this. We procrastinate. I used to tell my children, when you delay your obedience, it's the same as disobedience. Well, Jesus said, one time he told a parable about a man who had two sons. And he told the boys to do something. And the first boy said, I'm not going to do it. And he walked away from it. And the second one said, okay, I'll do it. The first one, in a little bit, he checked himself. He turned back around. He came and did it. The second one that said, I'm going to go do it, he ended up never doing it, even though he had said he was going to do it. So when we have a heart that maybe at first we say, I can't do that. The Lord accepts us when we come back and we say, Lord, I want to do your will now. But then the hearer, but not the doer, he's the one that Jesus, he asked the question, which of them did the will of my Father? And the people that were listening to him said, the one who came back and did it. He may have said at first, no, I'm not going to do that. And that's really where we all have been at one time or other in our life. We've been rebellious. We've been foolish and disobedient. But aren't you thankful this morning for forgiveness? Where when we turned around and said, all right, I'm going to do your will, Lord. I delight to do your will now. I'm not going to run from it anymore. I'm going to do your will. What a blessing that God says, I forgive you. And we come and we begin to do God's will that we for so long cast aside and said it was too hard. But He promises it's not too hard. It's very near you. It's right in your mouth and in your heart to obey. I find that obedience is very downplayed in today's religion. But it's not in God's sight. Obedience is still important to God. And the book of Joshua, I found something in here that I really believe applies. The first chapter of Joshua, he says in verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." Here it is again, two times. Be strong and courageous. It takes that, doesn't it, to be obedient to God's law. It takes being courageous against yourself mostly, against your own desires and appetites. It takes something to come to God and say, "Lord, change my heart. I have not wanted to do this in my life. I need you, and give God permission. Lord, I want to be a doer. I see your will. I see the obligation your truth has given to me. I want to do it. I want to love you with all of my heart." You know, really, Jesus just put it so simply. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." That's in John 13. We want to be one who loves Jesus. Well, another place, John dealt with this a lot. In the first book of John, in the three Johns there at the end of the Bible. But he said, I'll have to get it. I thought I could quote it. But 1 John. Chapter 2 and verse 3. "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Chapter 5 verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." There's a lot in the scripture, but back to Joshua. You be strong and be courageous. Ask the Lord for help. Ask him for courage, for strength, to love him with all of your heart. And then it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein." You know, if we never take God's word seriously enough to think about it, to think of it and mull over it, and spend some time and saying, and when you're meditating, I find this anyway, you may find it true, when you're meditating on God's word, you're praying. You're saying, "Lord, help me with this." It takes that to obey. I really believe that we're too, many times we as people are just too casual about it. We don't put forth this strength and courage and meditation. And then we say, "And I can't do this. It's just too hard to live for the Lord." Well, if we don't put these things into the preparation, then of course we can't. If we don't train, if we don't take the time to meditate and to ask for strength and courage, then obviously we won't have the strength to do. He said that thou mayest observe to do all that is written. Well, it takes that effort and that meditation, and it takes something else. I think about in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the example of Saul. Saul had his own ideas about what he could do and not do. And God had given him a commandment. Chapter 15. He was shown up by Samuel, and Samuel said, Saul made this boast, I have done all that the Lord commanded me to do. And I think that many times people, we get on that too. And we go through life and we think, I'm a pretty good boy. I'm a pretty good girl. I've done all that I'm supposed to do. But then the truth comes to us and said, but what's this that I hear in your life? What's this going on in your life? And people say, oh, well, you know, sometimes we as parents have children like that. They make their own ideas about what you said to do. And they come up with the sweetest little stories and the little illustrations. And they've got their own little thoughts that they've put on what you just told them to do. And sometimes it's real easy for us as parents to just kind of slough off and accept that. But really, we realize in our hearts, this child has not obeyed what they knew my will was. They have made their own ideas and got around, and they're over here happy as can be. I've done the will of the Lord. Well, that's what Saul, he said that to Samuel, and Samuel said, what is this that I hear? You didn't do what I told you to do. And here's what he said about it in 22. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And I find that that's a lot of times what man's religion is that they find things to do and all kinds of extra things. Well, I'm a pretty good person. My good way outbalances the bad that I have in my life. I do this, and I do this, and I do this. Isn't that nice? And we pat ourselves on the back because this is in my life, and this is in my life. And the Lord is saying, do I have as great delight in all of that as I do in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to listen and heed and do it is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And I find that that's what the Lord wants us to do. Put obedience before your own works. Before what you think, oh, I'm going to do this for the Lord. He says, put obedience before your own works. Joshua chapter 11, I want to look there. Chapter 11 and verse 15. This is an example that Joshua left us. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Lord, give us that thoroughness of spirit that we can, it can be said of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want that said. We want the Lord to say, you know, I gave you this to do in your life. I told you to love me with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And you did it. You did it. You loved people, and you did everything that you did in your life because of love for me or love for others. We want the Lord to do that. We want to have that said about us. I was just impressed by that. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. I think it all, still, it just comes down to that love. We want to seek, when we're seeking here to know and do the will of the Lord. We want to seek to please Him. Having a pleasing spirit before the Lord. Let me just look a little bit here in the New Testament then about obedience. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to get this right. I don't want to be overboard and leave you thinking that it's obeying the law that's important. Because here he says in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." For then it goes on. Listen, this balances it. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He determined this beforehand, that I want my people to live in obedience. Look at Ephesians 1. It says in verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." You know, He wants us, He has planned for us before He ever did anything, even before He sent His Son. Before He created us, it says before the foundation of the world, His plan was for people to live holy, for you and I to live holy and obey Him. It's not of works. Our salvation isn't that, okay, I have done all this and now Jesus saved me because I've done all this. No, there was nothing that we did to deserve salvation, but we believed that He came to save us. And He saved us because we believed on Him and said, "You're the only one who can forgive my sins. You're the only one who can free me from the power of sin. I can't myself. I can't lift myself up. Lord, I'm trusting You to save me." But after we do that, it says, we are created in Him unto good works. He ordained before this whole thing ever began that His people would follow Him and obey Him and love Him. Another place, I believe it's First Thessalonians. Well, I'm wanting the one where it says something about, oh, I know where it is. It's Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His own, of His good pleasure." So He not only works in us a desire to do God's will, but He works in us the power to do God's will. Another place, Romans chapter 12. I believe these are just a few proofs of God's will for us to do and obey Him. Chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." That means He wants people to be saved and cleansed from their sins and then come with that holy, cleansed life and soul and present it to Him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He loved us. He died for us. It's reasonable that we should offer ourselves to Him as a sacrifice. Lord, I come to do Your will. I want to do Your will. I delight to do Your will. You know, the Lord can take out of us that hesitancy, that rebellion that we're all born with. Well, I don't want to come under anything. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. We all have that. We're born with it. God can take that. We can give that to Him here. We can give it to Him and say, Lord, I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to be a living sacrifice unto you. And he goes on and he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John chapter 14, I want to read there what Jesus said. We want to have a heart that loves to do His will. And I believe I referenced this a while ago. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now another little place that Jesus said something that really has struck me is here in the 13th chapter, verse 17. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I believe that there's so much joy that's lost in people's lives because they're not really doing what they know they should do. And so they don't have joy. They don't have a feeling of well-being, a sense that all is right, all is in harmony with me and God. The peace that comes from knowing and doing God's will is just simply not there. But I believe that the Lord, He can give us that peace. He can help us. He can forgive us for not doing His will. He can give us a heart to do His will. And He can give us the happiness. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I'm just so glad that He brought it all down so simple. Let's see, one more there. Romans chapter 13, I believe it is. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Loving the Lord, loving people, having, you know, when you have a real love in your heart for people. I thought about that verse that says love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. It doesn't vaunt itself. Is not provoked. Doesn't think evil. It bears. It forgives. It's patient. It comes down to just, Lord, prepare my heart. I'm seeking you with all my heart because I want to do what you want me to do. And the Lord says, yes, you. I hear your prayers. I forgive you. I'll give you, and he said this in Ezekiel 36. He said, I'll put a new heart in you. I'll put a tender heart. I'll take the stony heart out of you. Isn't that so kind that he would say that? I'll take the stony heart out of you, and I'll give you a heart of flesh or a tender heart that you may keep my statutes and do them. So the Lord does that for us, and he gives us then knowledge of His will and ability and power through His Spirit to do His will. I don't think He's left anything undone. I believe when He died on the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. I've done what the Father sent me to do. I've accomplished salvation for my people, for all people. And now, I believe that the joy that he had was seeing knowing that now people can obey God. Now they can be saved and free from the power of sin. Now they can have a heart that's not stony and rebellious. Oh, what joy it must have brought to God to think, I've done this. I've accomplished this salvation so great and so wonderful. Now they can obey me. Now they can be in tune with me and obey my will. I want to seek to do that too. I hope you have that in your hearts this morning.